This is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. So they're the villains, and the opposite is America. Because America is now one big gay disco.
Yes, yes, I
am. That's not evil? Being hostile to all mankind and subversive is not evil?
Well, I have to say that because St. Paul said the Jews are enemies of the entire human race. They are.
What do you think of Jordan Peterson?
Did you see the video about where he said I can't do it?
Adam, I'm trying to do you a favor.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
Don't make your ignorance normative for the rest of us.
Don't use those kinds of slurs.
You're fighting for the gay disco.
What? There are no slurs here.
Die for the gay disco. This is an uprising against smug elites. Smug elites. And the opposite is America. Because America is not a gay disco.
Definitely our most requested guest, Dr. E. Michael Jones, a man who needs no introduction.
I mean, it is. That's what they pay the Rockefeller Foundation to do.
You're not supposed to know what I just told you.
They didn't know about this. They didn't know what we know now.
Is there any argument you can use to wake them up?
Yeah, I think that God had a plan for your life.
Well, you'd be jerking off every curvy piece of driftwood you saw at the beach.
Don't like disco. Maybe you would.
And you're consistently refusing to talk about pornography.
Pete Buttigieg seems to be the exhibit A of that process.
Yes, yes.
Because you think that the anus is a sex organ, don't you, Pete?
Richard Spencer hands out spears and he says, charge the machine gun nest.
Dr. Jones.
Sorry.
Not all of the heads of the Federal Reserve were Jews, but after a certain period of time, that seemed to be the case.
Joined with between 1 and 2 billion people on this earth who are celebrating the passion and death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have attended Mass all over the world. I have heard the word Lord proclaimed in Swahili, Bwana, Herr, Senor, all over the world. I've been fortunate enough to do this because there are Catholics all over the world and they all got together to commemorate his passion and death, and on Sunday to celebrate his resurrection from the dead. You will also have joined with a group of people that have been doing this for 2,000 years. There is no other institution or celebration that has this continuity and is so widespread across the face of the earth. You are talking about the broad path of Logos in human history, and you can participate in it if you're Catholic and you go to these celebrations. Now, at this celebration, we read the Gospel of St. John, and in it, he talked about the Jews. Now, I have to say, I didn't feel one bit, not even a little bit of anti-Semitism during this talk. There was no warning in the missal or the booklet that we received, no warning that you might experience anti-Semitism. As Rebecca warned, using the name of the bishops as using their authority to insult us by telling us that. But I did learn that the Jews killed Christ, because you cannot watch that drama and not come to that conclusion. The Jews could not kill him on their own. They had to get the approval of the Roman authorities who ruled Palestine at that moment in time. And Pilate was the man, and Pilate was extremely reluctant to go along with this. It's obvious from this drama that we just listened to. Pilate kept looking for excuses, and the Jews kept shutting down any escape hatch that he could find to get out of being guilty of murdering an innocent man. Now, he didn't know that Jesus Christ was God. No one had a clear understanding of that until about three centuries later, when the church defined the doctrine of the Trinity. But he knew he was an innocent man, and he knew that it was not part of his authority to condemn innocent men to death. And he stood up to the Jews for a while. He offered the mob Barabbas, who was a revolutionary, and he offered them a choice between Jesus Christ and Barabbas, and the Jews chose Barabbas. And because they did that, they chose revolution, and they've been revolutionaries ever since, as I pointed out in my book, The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. What did he know? What did Pilate know? He knew that Jesus Christ was the King of the Jews. He knew that in some sense or other that he couldn't really explain, but he insisted on it. He insisted on it in spite of the fact that the Jews kept saying, no, no, we have no king but Caesar. No, there was something about this man that he knew he was a king. And when he talked to Jesus Christ, Jesus said, yeah, you're right. I am a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. And he didn't understand that. And the Jews got more and more impatient as time went on, until finally they said, if you don't kill this man, we're going to tell the authorities in Rome that you're a sympathizer with insurrection here. And at that point, Pilate caved in and handed Jesus Christ over to the Jews, who killed him. There is no way to get around this situation. There is no amount of bulletins from Rebecca Cohen or anyone else, even when they use the authority of the bishop, even though no bishop signed this document, there is no way to get around this. It's never going to change. There is no amount of compromise on the part of the Catholic Church that will placate the Jews, because they wanted to kill him. And they would kill him again if they had the chance. And so there is no point in backing down from this. We have to admit, you are forced into a situation when you watch this drama. Whose side are you going to take? Are you going to be like the Jews who shouted, crucify him, the Jewish people? You cannot say it was the leaders who did it, because there are no leaders without followers. And the Jewish people said, it's not in the Gospel of St. John, his blood be on us and on our children. So they took responsibility for it. And now they don't want to accept the responsibility anymore, because they know it makes them look bad. Now, do not want to make the Jews look bad. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have to do anything to make Jews look bad anymore. They are doing a great job of this all by themselves. And I'd like to bring up one relevant example right now. Now, if you don't know that cowboy there is Rabbi Shmuley Botik, and he's celebrating a Jewish ritual. It's the ritual of Purim, and the Jewish response during Purim is to get drunk. They have a sort of command from the rabbis to get drunk during Purim, and he's doing a good job of it. This is something that... it's not polite to bring up in polite company, but it is a simple fact. And the people who knew it were the church fathers, because they had an intimate relationship with the Jews at this point. And one of the major church fathers who dealt with this was St. John Chrysostom, who I had a problem. Okay. It wasn't so much the problem of the Jews, although that was significant. He had a problem with Christians who were, this is his term, were sick with the disease of Judaizing. These were people who didn't really accept the freedom of the gospel, were, and always were kind of looking back to go to back to the flesh pots of Egypt, back to St. Bernard of Clairvaux, what he said, back to the vomit of Judaism. That was the term they used in the Middle Ages. And vomiting is something you do after you get drunk. And so St. John Chrysostom talked about these rituals. He said, "Do not be surprised that I call the Jews pitiable. They really are pitiable and miserable. When so many blessings from heaven came into their hands, they thrust them aside and were at great pains to reject them. The morning sun of justice arose for them, but they thrust aside its rays and still sit in darkness. We who were nurtured by darkness drew the light to ourselves and were freed from the gloom of their error. They were the branches of that holy root, but the branches were broken. We had no share in the root, but we did reap the fruit of godliness. From their childhood, they read the prophets, but they crucified him whom the prophets had foretold. We did not hear the divine prophecies, but we did worship him of whom they prophesied. And so they are pitiable because they rejected the blessings which were sent to them, while others seized hold of these blessings and drew them to themselves. Although those Jews had been called to the adoption of sons, they fell to kinship with dogs. We who were dogs received the strength through God's grace to put aside the irrational nature which was ours and to rise to the honor of sons. How do I prove this? Christ said it is not fair to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Christ was speaking to the Canaanite woman when he called the Jews children and the Gentiles dogs. But see how thereafter the order was changed about. They became dogs and we became the children. Paul said of the Jews, beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation, for we are the circumcision. Do you see how those who were first children became dogs? Do you wish to find out how we who were first dogs became children? But to as many as received him, he gave the power of becoming sons of God. The Jews, you Jews, broke the yoke, you burst the bonds, you cast yourselves out of the kingdom of heaven, and you made yourselves subject to the rule of men. This had consequences for the liturgy. The consequences were what you saw. The clip is too short. It should have been a longer clip. But anyway, this is the celebration of Purim. And at Purim, the Jews get drunk. Okay, so we fast over Good Friday. When they celebrate, they go in for drunkenness. They go in for excesses. And this is St. John Chrysostom again. And the ultimate licentiousness, dancing with bare feet in the marketplace. The pretext is that they are fasting, but they act like men who are drunk. Hear how the prophet bids them to fast. Sanctify a fast, he said. He did not say make a parade of your fasting, but call an assembly, gather together the ancients. But these Jews are gathering choruses of effeminates, homosexuals, and a great rubbish heap of harlots. Pornography, the other Jewish sacrament. They drag into the synagogue the whole theater, actors and all, for there is no difference between the theater and the synagogue. I know that some suspect me of rashness because I said there is no difference between the theater and the synagogue, but I suspect them of rashness if they do not think that is so. If my declaration that the two are the same rests on my own authority, then charge me with rashness. But if the words I speak of the prophet are of the prophet, then accept this decision. Play the other clip.
The rabbi clip?
Yeah.
Sucks! You're wearing Israeli flag? Esther, are you wearing an Israeli flag? Are you wearing an Israeli flag?
All right. Was he fondling that little girl's breast? It looks that way. As I said, I don't have to do anything to make Jews look bad. God has appointed Rabbi Shmuley at this point in human history. Okay. From all eternity, God has a plan for human history. And the plan at this point is to bring Rabbi Shmuley onto the stage to show that this whole stupid dialogue with Catholic Jewish dialogue, the one that led to warning us not to listen to the Gospel of St. John, has been a horrible mistake. It's been a failed experiment. It's time to abandon it. Okay, that's obvious now. Okay, Candace Owen, to her great credit, has been persecuted by Rabbi Shmuley for years now. He's celebrating, I think, there because he finally got her banned from the Daily Wire. But before she left, the last thing she did had a conversation with another rabbi, okay, Rabbi Barkley. And she came to the crux of the matter in that interview when Rabbi Barkley is talking to her like the idiot child. I don't know whether he thinks she's a shiksa or a schwarza. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's acting like this most patronizing rabbi who's trying to tell her, the idiot child, no, you can't do that. If you mention Hitler at all, you're an anti-Semite. And then he started going on and on about the things that she's not allowed to do. And she said, wait a minute, you're trying to impose your religion on me. That's the crux of the matter. And at that point, the Daily Wire blew up because the basis of the Daily Wire is conservatism. And the basis of conservatism is the belief that there is such a thing as Judeo-Christian morality. Okay, just ask John Henry Weston. It's the cornerstone of LifeSite News. And now we know it doesn't exist. It's a fiction. There is no reality to this. And the Jews are the one who blew it up because in the aftermath of the Dobbs decision, they announced that abortion is a fundamental Jewish value. If abortion is a fundamental Jewish value, there is no such thing as Judeo-Christian morality because the Catholic Church condemns abortion as a sin and a crime. Okay. After that happened, we had Ben Shapiro, who claims he's a conservative, until Hamas attacked Israel, at which point he threw all caution to the winds and came out for full-blown genocide. So Ben is a guy who is pro-life. He claimed he was when I asked him at the Right to Life rally. So, which means he thinks the baby should not be killed by the abortion, by the suction curette that the abortionist wields. But it's okay if the Israelis kill Palestinian children with the F-16. F-16s paid for by our taxpayer money, American bombs being dropped on Gaza as we speak. For months now, these poor people have been suffering at the hands of Jews who have no respect whatsoever for human decency or the moral law, or the canons of civilization. So thank God for Rabbi Shmuley. Thank God for Ben Shapiro. Thank God for Rabbi Barkley, because they made it so apparent and so obvious that you cannot ignore it anymore. There is no such thing as conservatism anymore. There is no such thing as Judeo-Christian morality. Okay? If that wasn't obvious at that point, again, God took Rabbi Shmuley and he brought him in to have a debate with Alex Jones. Okay, now Rabbi Shmuley was called Filth by Candace Owen because he has a sex shop that sells all sorts of disgusting stuff, which you'd rather not talk about in public, but he talks about all the time. Not only does he talk about it, he flogs it on every chance he gets, trying to make a buck off of sexual degeneracy. This is not of God. This is a rabbi who is exposing what the Jews believe. He's exposing the roots of the Jewish religion, which is worshiping Moloch. not Yahweh, Moloch, because Moloch is the god of human sacrifice. And so in this instance, he has this debate, and it's a shouting match between Alex Jones and then Rabbi Shmuley. And then, of course, after the debate is over, he declares victory. Okay, this is him on Twitter. To say I wipe the floor with him, Alex Jones, doesn't fully capture the shiny polish the floor had by the time I was finished with him. But my debate with him did confirm my growing theory that extremely sexually repressed people like Alex Jones end up being the biggest anti-Semites. Oh, wait a minute, we're back at Rolling Stone now. If you don't succumb to the Jewish sacrament of pornography, you're an anti-Semite. Rolling Stone said it. It must be true. And here's Rabbi Shmuley saying the same thing. Notice that every time I demolished Alex's arguments on Israel being genocidal or his lunacy about Jews being behind 9/11, he quickly returned to his jealousy of what amazing sex Jews have while he seems to be struggling a bit in the bedroom. Sexual repression leads to sexual obsession. Don't worry, my brother Alex. I'm here for you, and I'm happy to always counsel you and about having kosher sex, which is his brand, and we will continue to extend to you and the friends and family discount. The Jew is offering you a discount for his butt plugs. What a good deal this is on all the products you discussed today on air. Take care, my brother. Now, is this anti-Semitic to say this? Well, yeah, I think it is. Is it anti-Semitic to quote the Jew here, condemning himself out of his own mouth? I think it is. Okay, now what's the proper response here? Revulsion. I think Candace had the right response. It was revulsion at this despicable point. What's the gospel? What is he preaching here? Is he preaching the Torah? No. Is he preaching the Talmud? No, he's not even preaching the Talmud. This man is way below even the Talmud, which said that Jesus Christ is buried up to his neck in excrement, burning excrement in hell. What is he preaching? He's preaching the gospel of Wilhelm Reich, which promotes masturbation and the other type of sexual practices. God knows what Rabbi Shmuley's preaching as a form of controlling the goyim. Wilhelm, this is the religion of Wilhelm Reich. I'm not dumb. The day of the dumb goyim is past, Rabbi. We know who you're preaching, and it's not of God. Okay, now how do we react to this? Is there anybody out there who still thinks I'm an anti-Semite because I'm quoting Rabbi Shmuley? Well, it turns out there are people who think that if you say Christ is king, that you're an anti-Semite. And one of them's on Daily Wire. His name is Klavan. I thought he was a Jew. He's apparently a convert from Judaism. Well, God bless him. He's not a Catholic. He's an Anglican. I have nothing against Anglicans. My first wife was an Anglican. But when you convert, you're supposed to convert. So if you're a drug addict and you come to the Lord and you get baptized, you have to kick the drug habit. Okay? If you're a sex addict and you come to the Lord and get baptized, you have to get rid of the sex problem. If you're a drunk, you have to give up being a drunk. And if one of the biggest problems that Jews have when they convert is that they never stop calling people anti-Semites. They still want this Jewish privilege. They want to smuggle Jewish privilege into the Catholic Church with them. And this is contrary to what baptism is all about. Baptism is necessary for salvation, but it is not sufficient for salvation. And so God bless you if you become baptized, but that's the beginning of the story, and it's not the end of the story, because now you have to deal with all the flaws that you accumulated over your life up to this moment, either as a drunk or as a Jew or a drunk Jew, like Rabbi Shmuley. Okay. How do you deal with this? By the grace of God, it's a big help, but also by human discipline. Now, what I'm saying here is that the biggest problem we have now with Jewish converts, and God bless all the converts who have come into the church. God bless you all. I know converts, Jews who have converted by reading the Jewish revolutionary spirit. You're an indication, an inspiration for me when you do this, but don't come into the church and smuggle Jewish privilege in with you. Okay. And so let's go back to Andrew Klavan. Don't call people who say Christ is king anti-Semitic. Shame on you. First of all, the term is meaningless. And secondly, why are you censoring the gospel? If people want to say that Jesus Christ is king, Pilate said Jesus Christ was king. Are you telling Nick Fuentes that he can't say that Christ is king? Well, yeah, actually, there are some people. One of them is Trent Horn, who says that Jesus Christ, Nick Fuentes is an anti-Semite because he said Christ is king. Now, let's be honest here, okay? In the same tweet, apparently Nick Fuentes thinks that Hitler is a great guy. Now, if you know, he's cool. That's what he said. He kept repeating, Hitler is cool, okay? This is a kind of adolescent attitude. I've seen it in many adolescents. I know, you know, young German kids, you ask them what they want to be. And when they, you talk to them in German, when no one's listening, they say, I'd like to be the next Adolf Hitler because he had those cool uniforms. If you know what I'm, if you read the Holocaust narrative, you know that I am not one of these people. Okay. I am the one who brought the Catholic narrative back into the story of what happened in the concentration camps. And when I did that, there were two groups of people that were very unhappy, the Jew boys and the white boys. They were both unhappy because both of them, neither one of them wanted to hear that there was a Catholic participation in the Holocaust or the Catholic suffering. They had an explanation of the Catholic explanation of suffering that in a sense made sense of what was happening in the Holocaust. Neither one of them wanted to hear that. And so I understand it. I understand what you're saying, but I think it's unfair of people to accuse Nick Fuentes of what? Anti-Semitism? I've already explained to you, I am no fan of Adolf Hitler. You know I've taken flack from the white boys for talking about Catholic participation. So you know where I stand on this. Nick Fuentes knows where I stand. Let me ask you a question, Trent. You're the big theologian here. Is it a sin to say that Hitler is cool? Yes or no? The answer is no. It's not a sin. It's not a sin to say that. It's a sign of an adolescent mindset, but it's not a sin. And so let's stop burdening people with burdens that you yourself won't carry, burdening their conscience with things that don't rise to the level of morality. No one is saying that this is something that polite people don't say, okay? That's obvious, okay? So maybe it's not fit for polite company, but stop burdening us. I'm saying us, because I have been accused of the same thing, not the Hitler thing, but certainly the anti-Semite thing by people who claim that they're Catholics. Dawn Goldstein, Mark Shea, the thug, who tried to get me banned from the Patrick Coffin Hope is Fuel conference. People that I, you know, should know better. Janet Smith, got to stop this. This is over because we have to understand that there is a dividing line in human history, and it comes out in the Gospel of St. John. And if you either stand with Jesus Christ or you shall crucify him. That's it. I mean, there were people who stood with Jesus Christ. There weren't a lot of them. His mother was one of them. The St. John that Rebecca Cohen demonizes as an anti-Semite was another. St. Peter wasn't there. Okay. He was afraid. He ran and hid after he denied Christ three times. So he represents all of the rest of us who are full of these fears okay, and hesitate. But ultimately, you're going to have to make the decision before you die. Either you stand with Jesus Christ and have your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb, or you stand with the people who yelled, "Crucify him." It's that simple. That's my rant. Let's hear what you have to say.
All right. Hello, once again. This is Mike Bajakis, Dr. Jones' assistant. Real quick, before we start, last week I mentioned how we're going to jump to Twitter Spaces, and I did some testing. Twitter's not really made for desktop, but there are workarounds. Wasn't able to get it this week, so we're still on Telegram, for those who might be a little bit confused. So we're still on Telegram. Same link as before. It's going to be in all your different live stream channels. So next week, probably be able to figure it out. Probably jump into Twitter Spaces. All right, quick rules here, per usual. Call-ins are made via our Telegram channel, link in description. In Telegram, I will call on those who raise their hands. Later in the stream, we'll read off text questions from the chat. Try to keep on subject. Try to keep to one question at a time. Be respectful of everyone's time, and do not forget to unmute yourself. All right. To Telegram. Let me get this going here. All right. Martin is going to be our first caller here. Go ahead, Martin. If you're there, don't forget to unmute yourself as well.
Yeah, doctor, hello.
Yes, hello.
Yeah, good Friday. Happy Good Friday. My question, very brief, is the following. I've been noticing that many critics of the problem in Gaza are people from the Jewish community, and they insist that don't say that the problem are the Jews, but the Zionists. You know, Norman Finkelstein or Max Blumenthal or those kind of guys. And my question is, how can we acknowledge that there's a deeper problem without going to the stereotyping all the Jews? That's my question.
Okay. So when I talk, I've said this before, when I say the Jews, I do not mean all Jews. Okay. The Jews are a political entity. The Jews are the people who killed Christ and are enemies of the entire human race. To what extent that they participate in this entity is fluid. There are these Jews, all Jews, I can say, are created in God's image, and they are all rational creatures, which means they all have a conscience. At a certain point, they are raised with an overlay, a kind of software that turns them against the Logos and against the truth. Well, you can't really turn someone completely against the truth. And so that's why we have to understand that there are people who are struggling in the midst of all sorts of issues, personal, psychological, historical, and so on and so forth, that prevent them from embracing the Logos in its fullness, which is what you do when you accept Jesus Christ through baptism. And so I'm not denying that. I'm saying that at this moment, there was a political movement. What we need is a political movement where everyone who accepts the moral law as normative for everyone, with no exceptions, need to get together. And obviously there are Jews who feel this way. They feel it about Gaza. They probably don't feel it about abortion. But this is just one. Gaza is one facet of the thing. And if you constantly say Israeli when you really mean Jew, you're going to make a category mistake, because there are plenty of Jews who are enemies of the entire human race, who oppose genocide in Gaza, but support genocide in the womb called abortion. They're called left-wing Jews. So obviously we have to keep this in context, and we have to constantly have the consistent position before our eyes, which is it's wrong. Killing is wrong, whether it's abortion or Zionism is the justification. That's what we have to keep in mind, because otherwise we're never going to come to any resolution here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Martin. Moving on here, let's go to David Rogers. Go ahead, David. And don't forget to click your unmute button. Are you there, David?
Hi, Dr. Jones.
Yes, hello.
Hi, I'm traveling across the state of Washington today in my practicing of medicine since I've left the most of organized medicine. Interesting thing. My question for you has to do with the matriarchy. How, what I have noticed, I'm about 10 years behind you, and listening to you has been so fantastic for me to put my perspective, put some perspective on my experience for the past 40 or 50 years. And one of the things I've talked about with women from time to time is, in terms of spirituality, is that they say that Christianity doesn't appeal to them because of the patriarchal aspect of it. And I think that Judaism is mostly a matriarchy. For instance, abortion is a matriarchal tool for controlling whose children are born or not born. And I hear people, I hear women talk about it in this, in these terms, abortion. I'm not going to have his child.
Okay. All right. If you
and so many women have been disempowered because Christian women were disempowered because their men were disempowered first.
That's right. Okay. If you want to, the main manifestation of matriarchy in our day is feminism. And that's a Jewish political movement. And basically it has affected the legal system so that if there's a family dispute, basically the woman's always right and the man's always wrong. That's the reality of custody battles, pretty much. It's the reality of the courts. It's detrimental to the family because God created man as the head of the family. And this is the same people that are, you know, like Wilhelm Reich. Rabbi Shmuley is a devotee of Wilhelm Reich. He promotes masturbation. The reason for that is to destroy the patriarchal family. If you want the classic example, read The Authoritarian Personality that was written by the American Jewish Committee after World War II, which was basically a recipe for destroying the authority of the father in the home. You want cultural manifestations? How about All in the Family? Archie Bunker. An idiot. The Berenstain Bears, if you have these, see these children's books, they are They are right out of the Wilhelm Reich playbook because they are ridiculing the authority of the father. It's that simple. So it's all over the place and it contradicts scripture because in the beginning you had Adam and Eve and Adam was the ruler. So if Eve was the weaker vessel, that's the classic term that was used to describe that. And that's why the devil went after her. And that's why men have to rule the household. They have to have the positions of authority. Now, if Eve had sinned, okay, because she was weak, there was still the one thing that had to happen was for Adam to sin. And if Adam had not sinned, there would have been no fall. So if we keep this in mind, we understand that the proper order of things and how you negotiate this in a matriarchal world is always going to be problematic, but at least you have to understand the basic principles. Thank you.
So, thank you.
All right. Keep going here. Let's go to Frank Carmel. Go ahead, Frank.
Hi, Dr. Jones.
Hello.
And, well, I want to thank you for being a trailblazer for people like Nick and Candace. And my question, well, is about related to what one of the previous callers said. I've been listening a lot to Judge Napolitano, and it's been interesting to hear him talk about the issue of Gaza, you know, coming from the right wing. conservative side of things. And one of his guests has been John Mearsheimer, who wrote the book Israel Lobby.
Right.
And the one thing, you know, I found about Dr. Mearsheimer is that I don't think I've heard him use like the term the Jews. He will always say, if somebody says, why does the U.S. support Israel? He'll say the Israel Lobby.
Right. That's the name of the book that he wrote with Stephen Walt. Yes.
Right. But it seems like he's very shy about using, you know, referring to the Jews.
Yeah. Well, Jews never refer to Jews as a category. They don't believe it's a category. So that's why they never use the term, because let's get to the heart of the matter. What is the main problem with the Gospel of St. John? The main problem is that he puts the two words together that Dave Chappelle said you should never put together, the and Jews. And he's saying that there is an entity called the Jews. That's not a category of my mind. That's always what the Jews want to tell you. It's a category of your mind because you're an anti-Semite. You're making it up. It's a fiction. It's not there. No, it's there. It's there. And the category is Hoi Judaoi, the Jews. It's a category of reality. And these people can never bring themselves to mention it. And because of that, they can never get to the heart of the matter. We have to say the word Jew, the Jews. I've already explained what I mean by that. We have to use this term because otherwise we cannot identify the problem. And if you can't identify the problem or the enemy, you're going to lose every battle. So we have all of this evidence now. I mean, God is handing this to us on a platter. Thank God for Rabbi Shmuley. I mean, who? I can't, I was down on my knees thanking God for Rabbi Shmuley today after listening to St. John, because he's making it so obvious. This is the man who rules you, folks. That Jew with that kind of drippy nose, the creepy guy who's fondling that girl's breast, the guy who gets drunk as a religious ritual, he's the man who rules you. And if you don't believe that, ask Candace Owen. Because he drove her out of Daily Wire. Now he's apparently so deranged. He's drunk. Not just now, he's drunk with power. Got drunk with booze the last time. Now he's drunk with power. And apparently he's attacking Ben Shapiro. Anyway, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's do one more caller here. And then we're going to jump to the chat and read off the questions. So you guys start asking those questions in chat. MV, go ahead, MV.
Hey, Dr. Jones.
Yes.
I joined a little bit late. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention. I'm sure you have. Actually, there's the red heifer going on. That whole story about the Israelis looking for the perfect red heifer so they can burn it and get the ashes and cleanse the Temple Mount. That's obviously gotten the Palestinians a little bit worried. It really hasn't been covered in mainstream news, but I'm just wondering about your perspective on what's been happening with that lately.
Yes, the heifers are ready to be slaughtered. Actually, St. John Chrysostom says Jews are heifers. They're so blind and dumb, they're walking to the slaughter, okay? So there's precedence there. But, I mean, we're talking about the rebuilding of the temple. That's the whole point of this sacrifice. Then they'll clear off the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is what started this whole Hamas uprising to begin with. And then they'll build the temple. I'm telling all the Jews out there, please, buy a copy of The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit. If Rabbi Shmuley can hawk butt plugs, I can hawk The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit, okay? And in that book, you can read what happened the last time the Jews tried to build their temple under the rule of Julian the Apostate. It didn't end up well for the Jews. Fire erupted from the earth, as if to prove to them, this isn't just the Romans that don't like you. This is God who is saying, what God does not want built, you cannot build. So all my Jewish friends out there, Charles Moskowitz, read it, okay? Read The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit.
I'm really hoping it doesn't end badly for all of us. Thank you.
So am I. All right.
Jump into chat here. Going to start with Cozy and Rumble and all the other guys. Who do we get first? Let's see. There was a user. Yes, a user on Cozy asks, Dr. Jones, what is the counter-enlightenment?
Counter-enlightenment. Romanticism. Next question. No, what? Yes, the Romantic movement. Okay. Now, where did the Romantic movement begin? Read Logos Rising. It's in there. The whole story, it's basically German idealism. So the Germans were conquered by Napoleon. They didn't like it. And so after Napoleon was defeated by the Prussians, the Russians, and the English, a wave of revulsion against the Enlightenment swept through the German principalities. And it came to be known as Romanticism or German idealism, which basically means that the mind makes a contribution to ordering reality. It's not just a passive mirror. It's not just the dead mechanistic universe of people like Descartes and Newton and things like that. Anyway, Logos Rising is the book that will explain this in detail to you.
Next question. Let's see. From Rumble, PSUMJ asks, what role does Hamas leadership play in the ongoing Palestinian struggle?
They're the leaders of it. They were elected by the Palestinian people as their leaders in government. This has led to Jewish rationalization of genocide and dragging World War II into it. Breathe the Holocaust narrative, and you'll see where this comes from. But basically, one rabbi, again, these are rabbis that are saying this. It's not just some schmuck, you know, who works at a delicatessen. No, this is the rabbi saying that because Germans in Dresden, some Germans elected Hitler, therefore the Allies had every right to firebomb and incinerate hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians, including women and children. Because that is an absolute fact, because the rabbi said it, therefore, Israelis are justified in engaging in the genocide of the Palestinians. This is the type of logic that's ruling our lives right now. This is Shmuley in action here. This is another Shmuley coming up with these ideas. We do not, as Candace said, that's your religion. Do not impose your religion on me. I have my own religion. Unfortunately, they use the government to impose their religion on us, whether we like it or not.
From Gen X Catholic on Cozy, Shmuley is there to make Shapiro Jews look reasonable by comparison. Is this a psyop for PR reasons?
It's certainly good cop, bad cop. I think you could see it as good cop, bad cop. So actually, Shmuley's an expert at this. He played good cop, bad cop with Robert F. Kennedy. So he gave some talk, private talk. It wasn't in public. It was after dinner, where he said something about there's a particular kink in Jew. I don't know, it's the wrong word, but anyway, a little groove in Jewish DNA. And immediately the mass media called him an anti-Semite because he had the temerity to say Jewish DNA. And at that point, Rabbi Shmuley showed up as the good cop to the media, bad cop, and said, "Oh, he's okay. He's okay. He's kosher. He's kosher. I like him." And then Kennedy, like the dumb goy that he is, I hate to say this, grabs an Israeli flag and marches down Fifth Avenue. It was a disaster for his campaign, and he's never gotten over it. But anyway, that's the way I see it. Good cop, bad cop.
Now, I just added that if good cop is fighting bad cop, which Shmuley and Ben Shapiro right now, is that a sign of kind of the op collapsing?
Who's the good cop? Who's the bad cop? Is Ben Shapiro the good cop and Shmuley the bad cop? I don't know this, but I had a theory, but he's completely changed my theory because Shmuley is now attacking Ben Shapiro. Isn't he? Isn't that true?
Yeah. That's
okay. Going on. All right. So figure that. That's too Talmudic for even E. Michael Jones. So figure it out on your own.
All right, from Avery Watts on Rumble asks, any ETA on the second edition of Libido Dominandi?
It's at the printer right now. Right now, which means 2 weeks? 3 weeks. It's at the printer right now. So get ready to buy it. It is a tremendous book. It is the definitive edition of Libido Dominandi. I've said this before, but I wrote that book. It came out in 2003. 2004 is when the Israelis invaded Ramallah and started broadcasting pornography over Palestinian TV stations. That's the definitive proof. History proved me right. The Israelis vindicated my thesis, but it wasn't in the book because it happened a year after I wrote the book. So now it's in the book with 300 more pages of brand new material. It is the definitive story of sexual liberation. And it will be out in 2 weeks,
no.
3 weeks. Well, whatever. Okay, we'll let you know.
Next question here from Cozy. Pray for Ye asks, is it presumptuous to say we have a modern converso problem on our hands?
I've already explained it. No, we do have a converso problem. After years of telling the Jews to convert, the Jews are all taking my advice and they're forgetting that conversion, baptism is necessary, but not sufficient. You have to lead a moral life. You have to follow God's plan. You have to get rid of your vices. And so for all of my Jewish friends out there, welcome. You're welcome to the Catholic Church. We will accept you with open arms, okay? But don't try to smuggle Jewish privilege into the church with you. You have to leave that at the door when you come into the church with baptism, along with all your other bad habits, okay? Leave them at the door. And if you have a struggle, maybe we should have a 12-step group for recovering Jews who are still tempted, as soon as they start losing the argument, to call their opponent an anti-Semite. So maybe we can work on that.
From Danville, 33 on Rumble, has Dr. Jones read on the unts.com the article, The Smoke of the Synagogue,
yes,
by Lawrence Erickson? What is his opinion?
Yes, a lot. It's a long involved article, and much of what is said in there, I have already said in other contexts. I wish he had footnoted me, but anyway, that's another issue. But there are things that I disagree with, like the Siri theory is part of it. I don't think that's right. But if he's saying that the Jews have influenced the church, that they are involved in blackmail and money, it's true. I've been criticizing the Catholic Church for 40 years now. So, I'm not going to deny that there are problems here.
From SS Tiger on Cozy, have you seen the French movie Vanquish or Die, the war in the Vendée?
No. Is it good?
I don't know. Didn't mention that.
I don't know. No, I haven't seen it. I'm very interested in the Vendée. So I should check. I'll try and check it out.
From Hate for the Left on Cozy. Now that there is an opening at Daily Wire, will AMJ apply for the position?
Yeah, they offered me $37.50 a year. And so I'm holding out for triple figures.
There might be
another three figure salary, at least, Ben. You got to pay me at least $100 an episode. By the way, speaking of big contracts and big money, has Jordan Peterson said anything about the blow up at the Daily Wire?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. He's on the phone here. What do you have to say, Jordan?
I can't do it.
Oh,
that's,
damn.
That's all I can say. Dragons, your father. I can't do it.
Okay, well, we'll pray for you, Jordan. You got all those gorgeous, expensive suits, but you can't do it. And if you can't do it, you can't do it. Okay,
I can't.
All right, thank you, Jordan. Let's see. On Rumble, from Paulette's Mind, I prayed for the Jews today at a traditional Latin Mass. Does that mean I am an anti-Semite?
Yes. Next question.
I'm losing track here.
Well, anti-Semite according to whom? According to whom? Is there anything that it can't be construed as anti-Semitism when you're dealing with somebody like Rabbi Shmuley? rabbis, anti-Semitism is anything that Rabbi Shmuley doesn't like. It's that simple. How can we go on tolerating this? Isn't this clear from Candace Owen? Candace Owen, as far as I can tell, did not want this fight. She was content to be like the token black conservative lady and just wanted to talk about, you know, I don't know, the Moynihan Report or, you know, the good things to talk about. But she did, and she was dragged into this battle willy-nilly, nolens volens, because Rabbi Shmuley is the scourge of God. Okay, he is your worst nightmare come true. This is the world you will live in if you capitulate to Jewish power. He will rule you with an iron rod. There will be no forgiveness. He will get drunk and beat you up if he doesn't like you. Okay?
From Glucon on Cozy, is it okay to love Hitler?
Sure. We love our enemies. Christians are called to love their neighbor as themselves. Of course, your Christianity tells you to love Hitler, especially Catholics, because he was the enemy of the Catholic Church. So yes, of course.
And can you at least admit that his automotive choices and his dress was cool? Can we? Dress pretty good. All right, maybe next time. That's fine.
Okay, this is the Zoomer fixation.
Oh, no.
This is a kind of an adolescent attitude that is prevalent among a certain group of people. But are those uniforms cool? Depends on what you mean by cool. Personally, what difference does it make? He had some great Mercedes-Benz cars. Drive on the interstate highway system, did you know that you were promoting Hitlerian ideas? Because Hitler was the one who created the model for that. It was known as the Autobahn and is still known as the Autobahn. This whole reductio ad Hitlerum reached the point of absurdity.
Fair enough. From SS Tiger, very good question. Has the Vatican ever defined anti-Semitism?
No, that's the problem. And when I become Pope, my first encyclical will be a definition of anti-Semitism.
And I guess what would that definition be?
Racial determinism, biological determinism. That's all it is. If you ask those 2,000 church fathers who signed on to Nostra Aetate when it said that the church opposes all forms of anti-Semitism, that's the only reason they signed on, because to say that's what the term means. It was created by Wilhelm Marr. It was a form of biological determinism. And what it has no meaning or relevance to the situation at the time of Christ's crucifixion, because everybody had the same DNA. The distinction was religious, was theological. It wasn't biological. And that's why those bishops signed on. And if they're going to come up with a definition, that's what it has to be. You cannot, and so now we have a situation where Jesuits are starting to talk about how it's a sin to be anti-Jewish. Christianity is anti-Jewish. If you went to the Holy Friday, the Good Friday service today, you understand that it will never go away. Christianity is anti-Jewish. It's not a sin to be anti-Jewish. It's mandatory if you're a Christian.
From New Star 2015 on Cozy, can you reach out to Candace Owen to do an interview?
Can I reach out? Why would Candace Owen want to talk to me? You got the shoe on the wrong foot. Ask Candace Owen if she can reach out to E. Michael Jones. You know, it's far. Who am I? Who am I? Just some poor schmuck from South Bend, Indiana. And she's on the Daily Wire and she's got a lot of money and so on and so forth. So it would be...
Was on the Daily Wire.
Lèse majeste for me to reach out to her.
All right, what's that? 601, Doc? A couple more here?
One more question.
Let's see. Let's try to get a good one here. I guess the basic question here is fine. let's see, from Cozy, a user asks, do Catholics think the Crusades were bad?
First of all, you have to talk about which crusade. The Fourth Crusade was bad because it sacked the other part of Christendom, the eastern part of Christendom. But in general, either from a theological point of view of restoring the Holy Land to the Christians, to whom, who are its rightful owners, or opening up the eastern Mediterranean to breaking the blockade that the Turks had over that eastern Mediterranean. These were all good things. But like every endeavor of that sort, it's kind of mixed.
All right. Well, there you have it. Thanks again. Once again, EMJ Live is every Friday at 5 Eastern Standard Time. If you're not already, subscribe to Culture Wars magazine at culturewars.com. And then all the books can be found at fidelitypress.org. Subscribe to the Telegram, Cozy, Rumble. You guys are awesome. We're getting a lot more Rumble views. Make sure to follow us on Rumble. All those links in the description. And then next week, keep an eye on the Twitter. I plan on getting the Twitter space thing figured out so we can start getting Q's and A's from there. And we will probably, most likely, continue to broadcast on Telegram, just not take the audio Q&A. That's all I have. Dr. Jones, final words?
Christ is risen.
He's risen indeed. God bless everybody. See you next week.
St. Gregory of Nyssa, Jews are slayers of the Lord, murderers of the prophets, enemies and haters of God, enemies of their father's faith, advocates of the devil, a brood of vipers, slanderers, scoffers, a congregation of demons. St. Ambrose wrote, quote, the Jews are the most worthless of all men. They are perfidious murderers of Christ. They worship the devil. Their religion is a sickness. And he actually boasted that he was responsible for the burning down of a synagogue. St. John Chrysostom, demons dwell in the synagogue. They are the common disgrace and infection of the whole world. They sacrifice their own sons and daughters to devils, outrage nature, their religion a disease, their synagogue an assembly of crooks, a den of thieves, a cavern of devils, an abyss of perdition for attempting to destroy Christianity. Pope Pius IX said about the Jews of Rome, we hear them howling in the streets and they are disturbing us in all places. Pope St. Gregory VII, we exhort your royal majesty not to further tolerate that the Jews have power over Christians. To allow that Christians are subordinated to Jews means to oppress the Church of God, means to revile Christ himself. The official Vatican newspaper, the Civiltà Cattolica, every year the Hebrews crucify a child. In order that the blood be effective, the child must die in torment. From the Council of Nicaea, no priest shall be friendly or sociable with Jews, and the synod shall excommunicate anyone who does not comply with his order. Pope Innocent III, the Jews under no circumstances are to be protected by Christian princes, but on the contrary are to be condemned to serfdom. The Fourth Lateran Council, they must wear distinctive signs. Pope Eugene IV, we decree and order that from now on and for all time, they cannot live among Christians, but separated and segregated from Christians, and outside of which they cannot, under any pretext, have houses. St. Thomas Aquinas, he wrote, it would be licit to hold Jews because of their crimes in perpetual servitude. Princes may regard the possessions of Jews as belonging to the state. Now, these are not anomalous quotes. They're almost ubiquitous among the Church Fathers. Pope after Pope after Pope, Council after Council after Council. Why should these men who have such a relationship with God be teaching so negatively about the Jews and Judaism?
Hi, everybody. Purim is a day of celebration. We feel bad for Candace Owens that she lost her job. So I figure, with her image of what Jews are supposed to look like, why not at least validate her? I am dressed up as a Candace Owens Jew. Now, this is not a Christian child, it's a Jewish child. But if it would be, I got my Christian blood. Spicy, delicious. I got my Jewish nose. I have filth, because Jews are all filth. And more than anything else, what does Andy have? Money! Yeah, we Jews are all about money!
All about the Benjamin.
Hey,
by the way, notice these are all saints, meaning that they were all more than accepted by the church.